This Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha.
May Allah's blessings bring happiness, peace and prosperity in your life. Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome to a new program, a new silsila on this very special day. It is the occasion of Eid, the Eid celebration, my dear viewers, in which we remember Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And today, inshallah, azza wa jal, we have many special, humorous, inshallah, azza wa jal, also an extremely, very, very intriguing incidents which we shall be hearing about. The program's name is Intellectual Geniuses. Now, many of us have heard of the word genius. You think of a person who's exceptionally intelligent, he's very, very clever. That person, he's a genius. This is what we would say. When somebody's so, so clever, we would say that person is a genius. Now, my dear viewers, alhamdulillah, the history of Islam is replete with such individuals, many individuals. And inshallah azza wa jal, over the next couple of days, we shall be hearing about the intellectual ability of many great awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as usual, we begin with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, there's one thing we must remember, we must understand, that each and every single act of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each and every single act, from the minor things, small actions, to the larger actions, to the greater actions, each and every single one is full of wisdom. Each and every single one has been executed with perfection. Each and every single act of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with wisdom, with intelligence and perfection, my dear viewers of Madani channel. But inshallah azza wa jal, we shall mention one or two. Before that, we must understand, what do we mean by intellectual geniuses? What do we mean by intellect? So inshallah, we shall first hear a few definitions. Firstly, intellect. Intellect is the faculty. This is the definition of the faculty of reasoning and understanding objectively. So without being biased, but remaining objective, not being biased at all, and for you to be able to use the faculty of reasoning, for you to understand things, for you to process things. This is intellect. Now, side by side, when you have a genius, yes, there must be intellect there. There also must be knowledge. There must be intelligence. What do we mean by intelligence? Intelligence is the ability to acquire and apply knowledge and skills. This is the very, very important part. So intelligence, one thing is to possess knowledge, to be a knowledgeable person. Another is to be an intelligent person. A person who is knowledgeable may have just memorized something. So he may be knowledgeable and he may have read many books. And whatever is written on those books, he may have memorized verbatim. He may have memorized them by heart. And this person possesses lots of knowledge. All those books are in his head. But the question is, does that make this person, does that mean that this person is intelligent too? No. Why? Because intelligence entails knowledge, but not only knowledge, but also understanding. and then being able to apply that knowledge which one gains. And this is very, very important generally also. This could be a quick lesson for, you know, many people would be possibly still in their education, my dear viewers, whatever it may be. One thing is to memorize something. Yes, sometimes it's good to memorize. For example, memorizing the glorious Quran. There's so much barakah in memorizing the glorious Quran. But what's better? To be able to understand the glorious Quran. Whatever you are seeking, whatever knowledge you are seeking about, yes, it's good to know those things, but also to be able to understand those things and apply those things and then apply them with wisdom. This is the third thing. So we have intellect, we have intelligence, and a third thing, which is wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Allahu Akbar. Wisdom is something, yes, which comes with experience. A person could study and study and study, but if a person has no experience, then his wisdom is limited. We cannot say he doesn't have no wisdom, but his wisdom is very, very limited. One scholar has defined wisdom as performing an act rightfully, correctly, in the best or in a correct form at the correct time. Very, very important. What is wisdom? First, the action itself must be right. There cannot be any defect within the action itself. And not only performing the action correctly, but performing the act in the way the act should be performed. So sometimes you could think, you know, I'm performing a good action, but you may come about it wrongly. For example, somebody may be making a mistake, and you can shout at that person and say, what are you doing? This is wrong. So my dear viewers, the action you have done to stop somebody from doing wrong, this action is good. But the method by which you have done this action was wrong. It's better sometimes not to shout at a person, especially if it's the first time you're telling somebody. You could do it in a better way. This, my dear viewers, is wisdom. To perform a good act, a right act, to perform the act in the right manner, the right way, the right method, and also to perform the act at the right time. For example, again, if somebody was to make a mistake, if somebody was to be reciting his salah wrong, he wasn't reciting it correctly, and there's other people around too, and you were to go and tell that person in front of everybody, oh, what have you done? You've done this wrong, or why are you doing this? And in fact, he could have even said it in the right manner. You know, my dear respected, it could be a brother, whatever it may be, you've done such a thing, you shouldn't have done it. It would have been better if you didn't do this. This act shouldn't be done. So here you've told this person, which is a good act. Secondly, the manner you've done it in a nice and kind manner, which is the right manner. But what were you lacking? It wasn't the time. Because everybody else is with him. His friends or his family or the people he knows, they are with him. So now you've also told everybody else. So the time was not right. This, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, is wisdom. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we shall see all of these aspects. Intelligence, intellect, with undoubtedly this is inclusive to knowledge, and also wisdom, and how we find such brilliant personalities executing these actions, whatever it may be they do, in such a brilliant and perfect way. As I mentioned, we shall be beginning with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all people. Every act he performs is with intelligence, is with knowledge, is with wisdom, with absolute perfection. But let's just take one example from the huge seerah, from the huge biography of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And this is the incident of Hudaybiyah. And what made me choose Hudaybiyah, the incident of Hudaybiyah, was that even the people around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even they were amazed. Yes, generally they are amazed too. It's not that they are not normally amazed, but they were really shook by this incident. The Battle of Badr took place. Subsequent to that, we had the Battle of Uhud. And then, my dear viewers, the Muslims were in a difficult situation. They went to perform the Umrah. They wore the Ihram and they were ready on the way to Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah. And just outside Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah, there is a place known as Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah, you can go there today also. And the Muslims, they paused there, they stopped there. The Meccans, when they understood that the Muslims are coming, remember, the Muslims at this time were in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. So they were coming from Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara to Makkah Al-Mukarramah and they rested at a place known as Hudaybiyah. When the non-Muslims, the Quraysh of Makkah Al-Mukarramah, when they heard that the Muslims are coming, then they decided to have some sort of pact. Let's make some sort of agreement. Let's come to some terms. So they sent different individuals, and lastly, an individual by the name of Suhail ibn Amr, who later, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he later accepted Islam. At this time, he was not a Muslim, though. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came to the Muslims. And there was a treaty signed between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims, and the non-Muslims of Makkah al-Mukarramah. There was a treaty. And this treaty was extremely one-sided. Really, this treaty, even if you were to hear it, you yourself will be shocked, flabbergasted, really. Some of the points of this treaty, one is that they have come to perform Umrah, they've put their Ihram on, but they will not be allowed. They'll have to come back next year. After all that travelling, they'll have to return another time. Very unfair, very sad. You know, people must be thinking, we've come all this way, just allow us. But no, you must go back. Another, that if anybody of the non-Muslims from Makkah al-Mukarramah, if any one of them was to accept Islam, then you will not allow him, he will not be allowed to remain within Al-Madinah al-Munawwara with the Muslims. If he is to migrate to go towards the Muslims, you will not allow him to do so. Whereas, if anybody from the Muslim side comes to Makkah al-Mukarramah, then in this case, he could be taken prisoner, he could be killed or anything. If anybody was to come from Makkah al-Mukarramah, even the non-Muslims, then they would be granted sanctuary, they would be granted shade and ease in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, and then he shall be returned to the authorities of Makkah Al-Mukarramah. How one-sided was this pact? And this was to remain for 10 years. There was a person by the name of Abu Jandal. He was the son of Suhail ibn Amr. He had travelled from Makkah Al-Mukarramah, and whilst this treaty was taking place, he had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had accepted Islam. And Suhail ibn Amr said that the treaty begins with him, meaning he is not allowed to remain. But they were thinking, the treaty has not even been signed yet. The treaty has not been signed yet. So just allow him, he's already here. He says no. And that was also the son of Suhail ibn Amr, Abu Jandal. And he says that he has to return. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted this. What would you do? Ask yourself. And we're going to have a lot of this inshallah in these programs. What would you do in such a situation? And inshallah, a lot of the situations will have a bit of humor in it also, inshallah, that humor which is permissible in the deen of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had accepted this treaty. And as I mentioned, the companions were amazed, they were shocked. If they were given an order, just nothing would go through their minds. They were just in their own world. You can say this is how shocked they were, the situation they were in. But my dear viewers, the amount or the number of individuals who had accepted Islam during this stage, it completely amplified. It completely multiplied, my dear viewers. During this treaty, during this peace treaty, yes, it was later broken by the non-Muslims, but during this treaty, my dear viewers, hundreds and moving towards thousands of people had accepted Islam. And this was the wisdom of Rasulullah. He knew that when we have peace and we can do da'wah, we can invite people. We can invite people to the religion of Islam. They will see how brilliant the religion of Islam actually is. And that clause about a Muslim, if he was to go to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah, meaning a non-Muslim who accepted Islam and then was to go to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah, he shall be returned. My dear viewers, such a person was living amongst non-Muslims. And when there's a person or when there are people living amongst the non-Muslims, then those people can invite people towards Islam over there. So this, in actual fact, although we don't think of it, this in actual fact, this clause was beneficial for the Muslims. And nobody had understood this but the greatest of mankind, the most intelligent, the person who has so much ilm. He has ilm ghaib, he has the ilm of the unseen, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. He understood this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is undoubtedly an intellectual genius. His knowledge, his intellect, his aql, which is known as intellect, my dear viewers, his reasoning is at such a point which nobody else can match. This is why we begin with the example of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Other examples, if we move from one prophet to another prophet, you can take the example of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Many people would be thinking, and the children maybe have not heard of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was that individual who the wind was under his control. Yes, he is that individual who had control over the wind. He is such an individual who had control over jinns. He is such an individual, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, who he controlled the jinns, he had control over the wind, and on top of all this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him with knowledge, with intellect, with wisdom, my dear viewers. Yes, not only the wind, but even the animals, the birds, were part of the army of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. It said that once there were two women. These two women both had very young children, sons. One had one son each. Both of them had one son each. They both went on a journey together, and the sons were babies. They were very, very young. Very young, my dear viewers. They were so young that you could say they were newly born children, where you can not properly, you know, you can mistake one for the other, you can say. Where you can mistake one for the other. And upon this journey, it said that one was taken by an animal, by a wolf. And this was the child of the elderly woman, the woman who was older. So there was an older woman and a younger woman. And then the older woman, slyly, she said to the younger woman that that was your child who was taken. Rather than, you know, you would imagine a mother generally would be saddened. Really, she would be feeling despondent, completely lost when you lose a child. But it didn't happen with this woman. So she claimed that the other child, she said, this is my son, and your son was taken away by the wolf. And they both argued. The other woman said, no, this is my son, I recognize my own child. And there was a dispute between the two. This was taken to the Prophet of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam asked regarding the incident, what has happened. They both told him that this is what has happened. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam says, so there's one child, there's one son, and two women, two mothers, or two people are claiming to be the mother of that child. So he says, what we'll do then is, let's take a knife or a sword and let's cut this child into two. Let's take a sword and let's cut this child into two. Now some of you will be wondering, wow, really? Dear viewers, what would you do? Question to you. If there were to be two women, this incident was to happen. One was claiming to be the mother, the other also claimed to be the mother of the same child. What would you do? How would you determine who the real mother is? I'll give you a second to think, my dear viewers. Or for those who can pause it, may be able to pause it. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, what was his judgment? What was his wisdom? What was his intelligence? He came up with an idea. What did he say? He says, let's split the child into two. Now by splitting the child into two, it is going to kill the child. And a mother cannot bear to see her own child being killed. So from those two women, the younger of the two, she said that, O Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, O Sulaiman, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not split the child into two. Just give the child to her. It's okay. Let her have the child. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw the situation of both of these two individuals, the elder one and the younger one, he saw that the elder one was normal. She was still calm. And the younger one looked as, you know, she's about to have a heart attack. She would be frightened. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, that is all I wanted to see. This child is yours. He says to the younger one, the child is yours. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed his affection in a mother. And no real mother can see her own child being killed, being slaughtered. So undoubtedly, you are the mother, and it was given to the younger of the two. This was now, really, what would we do, my dear viewers? SubhanAllah, these are two prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them granted knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both of them granted intellect at its peak, wisdom at its peak. Nothing can match that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then the rest of the prophets, my dear viewers. There's an incident, my dear viewers, inshallah, which will bring a smile to your faces, especially on this day of Eid, concerning two individuals. One was a very elderly person, the other was a normal person. For now, we'll say he's a normal person. So this normal person, he came to the elderly person. He approached him and he begins to speak to him. He asks him, where is it you are from? This elderly person replies, I am from such and such place. So he's from Iraq, they are within Iraq, and he says, I'm from such and such place over here, which is quite close. He says, okay, and how is it there? How are the rulers of that place? He says, don't ask about the rulers. The rulers are really bad, and the ruler of Iraq and our main leader, he is a zalim, he is an oppressor, and he curses him, and he says, may Allah ruin such a person. This person says, really? He says, yes. So this person says, do you know who I am? And the elderly person says, no, I don't know who you are. You've come and you've asked me these questions. This person replies, the leader, that person who you are calling an oppressor, that person who you're saying is, who is doing wrong to others, the elderly man seeing this, he says, do you know who I am? Says, no, I don't know who you are. He He says, I am not stupid individual, the insane one. Such and such is his name, Fulan bin Fulan. I am that insane person who loses his mind twice a day. Hajjaj begins to laugh. And he also gives him a reward. So this person, he was an elderly person, he was a person of wisdom. He saw that he was in a difficult situation and he was able to quickly give a response, to quickly give a reply. But my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, there's one thing we must always remember. That yes, there's no harm in joking, and it's good to have jokes. What we would know as jokes or humor, my dear viewers. But what we must understand is that there must be truth within it. Whenever there is any sort of humor, there also must be truth within it. A person should not lie, even whilst joking. He said about Hazrat Sa'id ibn Musayyib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that once he had a problem with his eye. He had a problem with his eye, and he said to the doctor, okay, don't worry, I will not touch my eye. And later the people see that there's something accumulating, something, there's dirt gathering up in his eye. And the people say to him, why don't you remove that dirt? He says, no, because I said to my doctor, I will not touch it. And I do not wish to be known as a liar. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, today's lesson is such a brilliant, such a beautiful day. Families will be coming together. Yes, many people would be seeing each other. There is one request, whilst you are sitting together, whilst you are talking together, we fall into sin, my dear viewers. Try to refrain from sin, try to refrain from backbiting, try to refrain from lying. Inshallah, alhamdulillah, we spoke about two intellectual geniuses, not enough, I know, but inshallah, when you watch our next program, you shall hear much more. That's all for now, continue to watch Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
This Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha, this Eid al-Adha. May Allah's blessings bring happiness, peace and prosperity in your life.